Unveiling the secrets A-list copywriters use to make themselves and their clients millions. This is the Copywriters Podcast with your host, the world's greatest copywriting coach, David Garfinkel.
I'm going to start with a question. If you wanted to build your own home from scratch, it would be a good idea to talk to someone who's already done that themselves, right? Same thing with a sales funnel that generates a level of income you can barely imagine. And how do you build one? My advice is listen to our returning champion, Aaron Gensler, because he's been there and done that multiple times. For example, Aaron led a team in growing a newsletter business by a factor of 12 from $4 million to nearly $50 million a year. Another example, Aaron wrote a promo in 2008, resulting in tens of millions of sales. His promo was so good that others in the company used his copy as a template, resulting in tens of million more sales. And more than 10 years ago, Bitcoin, this is for all you crypto folks, Bitcoin was trading at about $500. At that time, Aaron published research urging investors to learn more about crypto and speculate prudently. Anyone who took his advice in 2013 would have increased their investment by more than 100 times. As we're recording today at the beginning of April, Bitcoin closed yesterday at $65,270. So Aaron's done a lot more since then, and he's doing great things today. I mentioned those three examples because Aaron has a bold and steady knack for taking promotional ideas and turning them into money, lots of money. And if you're looking for some clues on how to do the same thing with the promotion you're thinking about or working on, you're in luck. This is Aaron's third time in the show, and he's agreed to come back today and share some of his best secrets for massive business growth. Not only that, I have some really great advice about how to listen to today's show. Copy is powerful. You're responsible for how you use what you hear in this podcast, and most of the time, common sense is all you need. But if you make extreme claims, and if you're writing copy for offers in highly regulated industries like health, finance, business opportunity, you may want to get a legal review after you write and before you start using your copy. My larger clients do this all the time. So, Aaron, welcome back, and thanks for being here again.
David, thank you so much for having me back. I know I've been on quite a bit recently. It means a lot to me that as our conversations have continued to develop, that you agreed to have me back and to talk about this project a little bit today. Thank you also for the very kind things that you said about me at the beginning. It makes me incredibly uncomfortable to talk about myself. So I'm glad that you set me up that way rather than me having to do it myself. And back to that, the crypto analysis that I published in 2013, I to this day wish I had taken my own advice. I haven't seen that piece in many, 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 many years. But if I remember correctly, and I want to say it was right around 500 when I published that. If I remember correctly, my recommendation was to speculate intelligently, to learn as much about the blockchain technology, crypto technology as one possibly could. And if they decided to speculate, do so with money that they are prepared to never see again. But if this thing blows up and turns into the next big thing, it could be amazing. So I believed in it very strongly, but I did not act on it myself at that time when I published that. So yeah, that's a regret. But I guess if the Bitcoin maximalist people were correct and it goes to $1 million or more, maybe it's still a good price today. So again, all that to say, thank you again. It means so much to me to be on again. I really appreciate it. You're a great friend, and I'm looking forward to this conversation.
Thanks. Well, I can relate. In 1999? Yeah, I think it was. I was editing a newsletter called What's Working Online, Danny Levinas, Georgetown Publishing. And You remember Danny? And I was writing about Amazon and what an interesting company. If I had only bought a few... Oh, well, yeah, that's how it goes. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. Yeah. Well, so let's talk about how you do what you do. Now, we're going to be talking about a project you're working on with Sean Twing. And Sean, I think you guys have a few things in common. The thing that, as a promoter, as a podcaster, the thing that strikes me is you're both very reluctant to talk about yourselves, and you have outpaced so many of the gurus and braggarts we see. It's ridiculous. I mean, Sean worked with Andy Chaperone, created the modern marketing system. He's personally run more than $100 million in paid traffic. He's worked with 750 clients as an agency. Some of his clients include Agora Imprints, Legacy, Todd Brown. So I guess you'll have to leave it to me to brag about you guys, because no matter how hard I twist your arms, you're not going to do it. But I think you've zeroed in, you and Sean have zeroed in on two things people don't understand. And not only that, they don't realize that these two things kind of, they're almost like gateway elements to scaling up to huge sales. One is offers. The other is definitely different approaches to sales pages, depending on the audience. And of course, the third thing in the middle is a few factors that make offers work. But would you be willing to go over the different types of offers? We can talk about them a little bit, because I think even if people don't get involved in your project, just learn more about this, it's going to make a big difference.
Absolutely. I'd be happy to. Yeah. Fire away wherever you'd like to begin. I'm happy to, I'm here to show the cards. This is garage doors open, and I want to talk to you and the folks watching as, you know, as deeply as I can about techniques that I've used, you know, the things that I feel like Sean and I have landed on in our, you know, year plus now working together. So yeah, absolutely. Fire away.
Okay. So let's start with the free offer. What is it? What do people get right about it, get wrong about it? What do people need to know about a free offer?
I think the easiest thing, the thing that people get right about a free offer, whether signing up for an e-letter or joining an online petition or whatever it might be, like, I'm taking an action. People make a promise. I connect with that promise. You get my email, you get that first micro commitment, and now I can communicate with you on an ongoing basis. That's what I think people get right about free opt-in frequently. What they get wrong is immediately what happens next. What is the deliverable that I receive? What does that first touch point look like? What are you doing to build relationship immediately? These things, right? Like, it's a very tenuous time when you receive that first free commitment from someone. You can either have the budding spark of a relationship that turns into magnificent monetization, you know, a tribe of people who collect very strongly around your ideas, or you can go off the rails very quickly.
What does it look like when somebody really blows it, when they have an opt-in? What kind of stuff might you see in the emails or the communications that follow that completely dampen or grind out any possibility of future business? Can you give me an example?
Yeah, switching the expectation of what I thought I was signing up for. I'm going to join a free e-letter based on an email that I received from a nature organization that wants to protect endangered wildlife and wetlands, right? I sign up because that's important to me. It's in my local area. I want to learn more about that. I want to be a part of that cause, right? All the promise-based elements on an opt-in page that would cause me to sign up for that. And then the first thing that I receive is a fundraising drive asking for my first commitment to help them take their message to Washington and strengthen EPA regulations, right? It gets deep in the weeds. It gets scientific. All these different things happen, right? That's, and again, that's just an example off the top of my head. But what was the spark in my brain that caused me to sign up in the first place? A deep caring and wanting more understanding of what we as regular citizens can do to protect endangered species and wetlands. So that first five emails, whatever your autoresponder series or your gauntlet, whatever term you use, whatever your first five emails over the first 7 days, the piece of fulfillment that you send me, the free report, whatever it is, everything that you send me needs to double down on that promise, strengthen that promise, and begin to build a bond with me around that central idea that led to my original signing up in the first place. We'll get to the fundraising. We'll get to the marching on Washington and taking our ideas to the legislators. We'll get to all that later. But what you want to do, like, you have a link, you build that first link in the chain, right? When you achieve opt-in. So the messages that you send and what you do, you know, you have to make that chain stronger. You need to double down on those links. Then and only then can you begin to modulate the promise, take it different places, and begin an actual ask, which goes into like essentially what we would call like a front end or an acquisition offer, right? How do we motivate a free reader who's built a ton of know-like trust around these ideas? How do we motivate them to take that first paid action, right? That all comes
okay, later. So that's great. And that's the free offer. But now you're really ready to talk about the second kind of offer, right? Which is a customer acquisition offer. Right.
Yeah. So then again, these aren't new ideas. It comes from Eugene Schwartz. It comes from Great Leads. It comes from things that it comes from your books. It comes from things that you and I have talked about. You know, in the Carlton group years ago, we'd sit around for 6 hours, a group of us, and we'd all bat around these ideas. So there's nothing new under the sun. There's just new ways to look at how do we deploy these things, right? The one that I came up with, and then again, this isn't new, but it's CAT, credibility, authority, and trust. You have to establish those three things among a free readership before you can ask for the first monetary commitment. Is it 79? Is it 150? That doesn't really matter what the acquisition offer looks like. And again, like that's something Sean and I talk about too, like technically how do we modulate these? But you have to establish credibility, authority, and trust with the audience before you can make an ask of, before you can ask me to open my wallet, right?
And that's what you're going to do in your free offer, right?
Right, exactly. That's what I'm doing with the fulfillment that I receive. Like again, if I interact with a page and I'm signing up to get a monthly email newsletter, or I'm getting a weekly, or I'm signing up to receive materials from you in the mail, or I'm signing up to view your experts speak at a free event on Thursday at 7 p.m., whatever the case may be, the exercise that takes place between that moment of me giving you my email or address or whatever the case may be, and you making that first ask, you need to demonstrate credibility, authority, and trust, because those are the three most important things that are going to motivate me to action. Yes.
Okay. And then there's a customer acquisition offer, and then there's a core offer. Is the customer acquisition offer kind of like a low-end offer just to get them in the action of buying, and the core offer is something more substantial, or what would you say?
Correct. Correct. Yeah, that first offer, regardless of what the price point is, and this comes right from Brian Kurtz. You know, I corresponded with him recently. He wrote the fantastic book that everyone under the sun should read, Over Deliver. That's what's key after you achieve that first monetary commitment, is you have to over deliver surprise and delight at every touch point, every interaction that you have with your core offer, because that's what makes further monetization, ascension, right? Taking people all the way up to your platinum level, your superhero level, touching the guru's robes at the top of the mountain, all that. Surprising and delighting and over-delivering at every touch point is what makes further ascension possible. And that's a big, big breakdown. That's really easy for us to sit here and talk about. We could talk about different ways to over-deliver, right? Like here's free bonuses, right? Here you only thought you were going to get one of these, but we're going to give you two or three instead. But it's a huge breakdown that you see all the time, because you get satisfied with how you're treating your front end, your entry level buyers, and you kind of get into this groove where good enough is good enough. And then you come up, you cook up the big ascension offer, the big back end offer, the bundle, the lifetime, the whatever the case may be, whatever you're doing, and you put it out there and it doesn't perform anywhere near as well as you thought that it should or that it could. Well, part of the reason why, I mean, that copy could be lacking in some way, right? Of course. But we also need to recognize the fact that the journey that person was on was not packed with over delivery. It was packed with good enough. And guess what? When you try to move somebody along, good enough is not good enough.
No, I totally understand that. You know, when I transitioned from being a journalist and then a freelance journalist to being a copywriter and then getting into this whole world, I learned about that, because as a journalist on a salary that would not go up or down depending on my performance, I would try and get away with just enough. And it had to be high quality just enough, but it wasn't over delivery, you know? And once you're really dealing with market forces more directly, it has to be over delivery. I totally agree with you. Could you talk a little about sales pages for cold audiences, warm audiences, hot audiences, how you know, and what's the difference?
Yeah, so Sean and I came up with the three different stages of sales pages. We just talked about them in terms of temperature. And again, this isn't new. It's a little bit maybe like it's fresh framing around the ideas, but cold is somebody who has not bought anything from you before, right? You do not have an existing relationship with this customer. Warm is kind of that person who's participated in your lowest level your lowest level pricing structure, whatever that is. They know you. There is their credibility, authority, and trust have been established. You're working your butt off to over deliver to those people all the time, right? That's a warm audience. A hot audience is someone who spent money with you on multiple occasions, someone who has been with you for some length of time, someone who knows deeply and intimately what you're about as a business owner, right? The person who's the hot offers are, that's your tribe. Those are the people who they would go to the end of the earth for you, for your business, your product, your service, whatever it is that you do. And all you need to do is now take them to the promised land, right? What I have for you today is our intimate get together in the hill country outside San Antonio. A very select group of us are going to get together for a 4-day retreat, and we're going to dig deeply into the right. That's a hot audience. Those are the people who are primed, they're ready, and they're able to take action on the absolute highest level that you can give.
And you've created or managed campaigns to these hot audiences. I know what you're talking about. It's kind of amazing. People will spend money at a scale that you couldn't even fathom if you hadn't been through this before, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, you're consistently surprised to the upside. But that's where you got to, like, and again, for solopreneurs or small business owners, folks who could be listening to this, or you're working with a copywriter or you're writing your own copy, that's where you have to, like, get out a sheet of paper and forget about money, forget about access, forget about what's possible. Just 11-star offers, right? It comes back to that famous bit, that famous story. Just write down everything you could possibly do to give your customer the top flight experience that will shock them that they've never seen before, they didn't even think was possible. Okay, so you're gonna have 15 different things on that list. All right, 5 or 6 of them are like, we're not gonna fly people around in helicopters, right? We're not renting a fleet of helicopters to fly, right? Okay, cross that one off. All right, so you go through a process of elimination after you come up with that list. Well, then eventually you come up with 3 or 4 that no one's ever talked about before, you've never thought of before right now, and you've certainly never included in an offer. Okay, we'll figure out a way to put them into your hot audience ascension offer, and then you have something that's fantastic that people are going to love and they've never seen before.
I'm going to jump in and ask a question real quick, kind of encompassing all of the conversation so far. A lot of times I see business owners make one of two big mistakes. Number one, they try to rush way too fast, and you kind of covered that. I wanted to ask why it is that they rush too fast. And then the other thing that I've noticed is a lot of people don't even consider this third step. They don't even consider what it is that they could really put into a top-tier offer, and they spend all of their time just on customer acquisition, just get new customers. All of our ads, all of our marketing, all of our sales pages are for that cold audience. And they just neglect that warm or that hot audience. So I see two extremes. One, rushing way too fast to the hot audience offer. And then one, just completely neglecting the hot audience offer. I wanted to get your take on why those two mindsets are so prevalent in entrepreneurship and copywriting.
Yeah. Why do you move too fast? I think, well, again, I don't want to make too much of a blanket statement, but I think sometimes people fall into the trap of moving too fast because they have bills to pay. You have obligations. You have obligations personally. You have obligations in your business. Like maybe your business is relatively new. Maybe this is your first time around the block. You're trying something. So you rush ideas to market because you think getting a result, which is important. You have to let the market decide. You have to farm a result and then respond to that result intelligently. But I think people think like action, you know, doing something is more important in the moment than actually thinking it through. So as to the other side, as to not seeking max monetization with good customer relationships that you develop over time, I think people just kind of, they get in the trap, the good enough thing I was talking about a minute ago. People get in the trap of like, this is what we do. This is what we're really good at. This is what our customers expect from us. And they completely neglect to imagine what would be possible if they could take those offers, those services, again, whatever they're doing, if they could take that to a completely different and higher plane.
Yeah, that's a good answer. It's true. I mean, one of the great things about being in business and marketing is you get so immersed in it. You get so into it. But it creates blinders. Sometimes it's important to step back and say, okay, so I'm doing this. It's really good. But is this all there is, or is this part of a sequence, part of a process, part of an ascension, right? So you and Sean have developed a project, course, a training to help people get the big picture and to implement it called Full Funnel Formula. Could you talk about that?
Yeah, the Full Funnel Formula, we're doing 3 days of live seminar, April 24, 25, 26. They're going to be at 4 p.m. Eastern, hosted on Zoom. We're going to go deep on a lot of the things, David, that you've asked me about here. You know, like, how do I make the decision that it's time to jump warm to hot? Like, how do I go out and find cold prospects who are actually qualified to participate in what it is that I'm offering, right? Like, how do you even make those decisions? And then when you do, how do you test copy? How do you put offer structures in place? Anyhow. So that's what we're doing the 24, 25, 26, is taking a lot of these concepts that we're talking about here. We're going deep. We're going to do a ton of Q&A. And what we would like is people who show up, listen, bring their problems, their questions, the roadblocks that they're facing, and then me and Sean just kind of riff on it. You know, experienced junior, full-time, freelance marketers, copywriters, solopreneurs, embedded in a business, you know, trying to get embedded in a business, all are welcome. You know, you walk away with a nugget or two that's going to help you on your next project. That's what we're looking to do, is just like cast a big net and help folks make smarter decisions. That's Full Funnel Formula. That's what we're looking forward to.
That sounds really good.
I got a quick question for you. This is something that I've noticed talking about warm audiences, cold audiences, hot audiences. I've noticed that sales pages from an ad to a cold audience for a kind of low tier offer, I got to put a lot of work into that sales page or into that VSL. Versus if I sent somebody from my community who just got off of a webinar, not so much persuasion. And then when it comes to that top tier offer again, it goes back to, man, I got to put some work. I got to hit all the points again. And so I wanted to get your thoughts on kind of the combination between the degree of the audience versus the ask that you're asking for. And how does that kind of play into, in your thoughts, how does that kind of play into the way that you build these offers along each step of this full funnel journey?
I just came up, while you were asking that question, I just came up with what I think is a really cool analogy for those three factors. I'll hold on to that for a second. I'll answer your question, then I'll give you the analogy. Yeah, the cold offer, you have to really put your best foot forward. You have to prove everything you possibly can, and then you have to prove it multiple times from multiple angles. Testimonials, third-party proof. Like, this is a part of like doubling down on credibility, authority, and trust. That's why we're doing that before we even try to convert somebody from cold. That's why those offers tend to be longer. In the middle, give them more of what they bought the first time, but give it to them at a higher level. Give it to them faster. Give it to them with more upside. Give it to them with easier access. Again, like, you know, product, service, whatever it is, right? So they can be a little bit more direct. They tend to be a little bit more shorter. And then in the back, you know, at the very end with the hot audience, like, you need to, these are people who know you, they trust you, they've done business with you, and you need to absolutely blow them away to prove to them that this highest level is what's so important to them. So here's the analogy. It's like dating, right? You got to put a lot of work in to the cold audience to achieve the date, to get the buy-in, to set the time in the restaurant, right? And then in the middle, it's like, hey, honey, do you want to go out to dinner on Friday, right? That offer tends to be a little bit shorter. And then the hot audience is your anniversary. You got to put in an awful lot of work to make sure that anniversary comes off as special and as memorable as it possibly can be. So again, I literally just came up with that. It might not make sense. I'm going to work on it. I'll refine it, I promise. But that's how I look at those three.
Man, it makes perfect sense.
Thank you.
Okay, so could you recap a full funnel formula? When is it? And we're going to put a link in the show notes, but go ahead and tell us about it again.
Live trainings, 4 p.m. Eastern, April 24, 25, 26, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We want to do as much, Sean and I were actually just talking about this the other day. We want to do as much Q&A as possible. Be like, I would love for like an entrepreneur who's got this piece and they've had a little bit of success, but now they're stuck. It's massive roadblock time, right? Come listen to us in our presentation. Again, we're going to be talking about like, how do you identify audience? How do you land on a sales page structure that makes sense for the audience that you have? those are sort of the modules that we're stepping through, the actual content that we're going to provide. Yeah, but I would love for folks to just like tune in, bring your questions and your roadblocks, and then me and Sean will just we'll do everything we can to, you know, help folks get over those roadblocks.
That sounds great.
Yeah. So before we're out of here, we will have the link to this full funnel formula in the show notes over at copywriters.com or copywriterspodcast.com. If people want to connect with you and get to know, like, trust, build that whole cat that you were talking about with you, what's the best way that people can follow what you're doing, maybe contact you, get in touch with you, and take their relationship, their education to the next level?
You can email me directly. This is a real email address. It's aarongensler@gmail.com, my first and last name.
Awesome. And again, we will have the links for this full funnel formula in the show notes over at copywriterspodcast.com, as well as this is your third time, I think, on the show. So we've got a bunch of interviews with you as well over there.
Do you remember the Five Timers Club on Saturday Night Live? Like Steve Martin, I think, was the first person in the, like, do I get like a special jacket or something?
You'll get a little insignia that you can put on your collar, or maybe it's a ketchup stain.
I made the inner circle. Guys, again, seriously, I really appreciate you guys taking the time to do this. David, you know, I've known you forever. You're a dear friend. I appreciate your time and your willingness to help me and Sean out. This has been great.
Oh, my pleasure. And you're welcome.
And we appreciate you coming on. This is the third time you've been on. Every single time you've dropped massive jewels for our listeners. So we appreciate you as well. Again, copywriterspodcast.com. Check out the show notes. Check out the other interviews with Aaron and get the link for the full funnel formula. And until next time, we will catch you later.
Catch you later.
Hey, did you enjoy today's show? Want to help get it into the ears of more listeners? Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcast app.
This is the Copy and Funnels Podcast Network.